so for this morning, it's my honor and privilege to kind of round up this series that we have been speaking on. And so we've been speaking about being spectacularly normal. And I want to read to you the passage of Scripture, just one verse this morning that we have had as our key foundational verse in Romans. That's the New Testament, Romans 12, verse 1 in the Message Bible. Listen carefully one more time to what the Apostle Paul writes and could be writing to you right now, and I believe is. He says this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. How many know every day is ordinary? Ordinary is not bad. Ordinary is just ordinary. And for most of our lives, we live in the ordinary. There is normality, even in the chaos. There is normality about things, practices, things we do, things we don't do. It's our everyday, ordinary life. Paul says, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God. Everyone say, before God. And place that ordinary before God as an offering. How many are getting the idea now that we've got to give our ordinary to God? I had a bit of a starter thought before we get back into the story of Joseph in Genesis that we've been looking at. And he is just a, I suppose, could be termed a starter for 10, that maybe our spectacular is just a brighter reflection of our ordinary. Let me say that again. That just maybe our spectacular in life is just a brighter reflection of our ordinary. And therefore, let me make a point on the back of that when I say that when it comes to the weekend, everyone say the weekend. When it comes to the weekend, never expect a spectacular worship experience on a Sunday if you don't worship in the week. Don't come along and expect this spectacular worship experience. Please ban leaders in this spectacular kind of connection with God if in the week you don't worship in your ordinary. You see, the reality is, what I'm saying is, your Sunday look, how you look during the worship experience on a Sunday, your Sunday look is only a reflection of your Wednesday look. That is the reality. If you don't worship in the week, you will never worship on a Sunday. How many know that's the truth? It was just a thought. And so we turn our attention to Joseph. Everyone say Joseph. He had a wonderful coat. There it is right there. The actual coat is getting on just a little bit right now. And the story, of course, is in Genesis 39. And remembering that we've tracked his life and coming to a part in the story, which of course is very special. And the last time we spoke about Joseph in Potiphar's house. This was the man who served Pharaoh. He was one of his main guards. And Joseph found himself in slavery and brought into the house of Potiphar. And you know what? We reckon that Joseph was doing pretty well in the sense of his ordinary. Some daggy stuff had happened to him. Some wrong stuff had happened to him. But he thought, you know what, God, I'm going to live well. I'm going to do my very best at ordinary. In the normal things of life, I'm going to serve you well. So goes the story that in reality that Potiphar's wife took a liking to Joseph, and because of her, she came along and spoiled the party, accused him falsely of some stuff, and this leads Joseph back into prison. So he finds himself in a bit of a rotten place again, but still determined to serve God in the ordinary. But the thing that I want to highlight this morning and just take us through the story and make some points that as I go through hopefully will help you is the fact that as we come into this next season, into this next chapter on the journey, we see what I believe were some miraculous turn of events. Let me tell you something. God is at work. In this story, God is at work in your life. God is at work. Understand, this is not just about Joseph this morning. In your life, God is at work. And so the story continues that as Joseph is put back into prison, he gains some favor with the guy who is over all the prison and gives some responsibility to Joseph. He's doing well in the ordinary. He's catching people's eyes again, and he's being promoted even within this prison context. The story goes that two of Pharaoh, or the king's servants, offended the king. These two guys that offended the king just happened to find themselves in the same prison as Joseph. Hear what I'm doing here. They just happened to be under the supervision of Joseph. And get this, they just happened to have dreams, not more dreams. And Joseph just happened to have experience with dreams. The story goes that Joseph interpreted the dreams of these two guys that were the king's servants. And making a very long story short, the reality is that as he interprets the dream, he interprets to one guy that this is the end of the road for you. Imagine that, that someone comes along and tells you your dream that you're on your way out. And it actually happened. And the guy was executed. Thanks, Joseph, for the call. If you have a dream like that, don't come for the interpretation. And so for one, it meant curtains. But for the other, he told Joseph his dream, and Joseph said, for you, this means that you will be restored into the king's service. And so one was executed, and one literally was taken back into the palace. A pardon was given, and he continued to serve the king. But before he went back to the palace, Joseph said to this guy, he said, when you go back to the palace, please, would you do me a favor? He said, will you remember me? He said, don't forget me, basically. Don't forget about me. In my situation, don't forget about me. But as we read the story goes is that as soon as he went back into the palace, he forgot all about Joseph. Now, here's my point. It's very short, but very true, and something that we should take note of together. Never forget what people have done for you. Never forget what people have done for you. How quickly, when people have served our lives, when people have had significant influence over us, for sometimes a short time, for other times a longer period of time, this may be a parent, it may be a friend, it may be a leader, it may be all kinds of people. who have done things for you, and maybe you just forgot about that. And I think God wants to bring on light bulbs right now in your thinking and in your memory of people that did things for you that maybe you need to do something for them. Because it's so easy to forget what people have done for us. Is that okay? And so we read on. In the story, we find that leading on from what happened with the events about these two guys, that eventually the king himself, Pharaoh, he has a dream. What is it with about these dreams in Genesis? He has a dream as well. Everybody's dreaming. But again, no one could interpret the dream. But we know a man who can. Now watch this. Suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Suddenly, the cupbearer, or this is the guy that forgot about Joseph. Suddenly, the cupbearer remembered. He'd heard about Pharaoh's dream, and he remembered the guy that had actually interpreted his dream. So suddenly, the cupbearer remembered. Suddenly, Pharaoh sent for Joseph. Chapter 41, verse 14 of Genesis. Suddenly, Pharaoh sent for Joseph. Suddenly, Joseph was able to interpret the dream. And basically, the dreams that he'd had, the interpretation was simply this. Your majesty, the king, or Pharaoh, as he would have addressed him, there is going to be a period of time where there will be prosperity in Egypt, a number of years, and then on the back of that, there will be a severe famine. Joseph starts to bring some wisdom of God, because God brought the interpretation so that the nation could survive. And then suddenly, Joseph found himself from the prison to the palace. I mean, you know, this is all happening very fast. Suddenly, he found himself with a wife. Suddenly. And I want you to understand something this morning. I want you to understand that in our ordinary, everyone say ordinary. I want you to understand that in our ordinary, God is quite capable of bringing some suddenlies. And bringing those suddenlies in a spectacular way. So as we look at the story, I believe there's a couple of things here that I believe we can grasp some things from this morning. The first being this, that here we see what I've termed a spectacular repositioning. A spectacular repositioning. You see, Joseph moved from running prison cells to ruling a nation overnight. How many know that's God right there? Let me tell you something. God can suddenly reposition stuff in your life and often in a spectacular way. I think what I'm saying here is we are never to rule out the suddenlies of God in our ordinary. How many know God's on the dream? I've said to you before, God's on the dream. Whatever it is that you've had and you feel maybe has lapsed, maybe has been years and you've still not seen the fulfillment of what God showed you. Let me tell you again, God is on the dream. God was on Joseph's dream and God's on your dream. Never rule out the suddenly of God in your life. As I read and did some research on this, I came to the understanding that the historians tell us that there was approximately 20 years between Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers and interpreting Pharaoh's dream, leading to the point where he became the prime minister of Egypt. How many know that's a lot of ordinary? A 20-year timeline. Don't we get impatient with God? It's like, God, you showed me that last week. It's not happening yet. What's going on? Is it me? Is it you? What's happening? Lord, you showed me this a couple of years ago, and really it doesn't seem like this is ever going to happen. Is the dream dead? How many know God's not in a hurry? In our instant world, sometimes we've got to just see that God is on the dream and not get impatient believing that the dream is over or that the dream has died. You hear what I'm saying this morning? So there's a lot of ordinary in that 20 years that Joseph said, I am going to do my ordinary very well. And let me just make maybe one observation of that timeline. Because a lot of years of ordinary where stuff's happening in Joseph's life, it's not going as he thought, and then he comes to a point where he thinks it's happening and it's gone again and he's down, he's back in prison. And that seems sometimes like our lives that we're striving for some stuff, we're looking for God to do some stuff, and it seems we come to a certain place and a certain mile, and it's like we take back two steps. And we don't seem to arrive where we felt we need to arrive. An observation that I made some weeks ago now is that not only does God want to mark us in life, he marks us, but he's trying to make us. Understand that God isn't just about marking your life, God is making your life. And that doesn't happen in 5 minutes. God takes time to make our lives, to bring us to a point of maturity. And Joseph had been on this journey of maturity. But something I want you to notice, that I noticed as I read this narrative, was this. That in the early days, I'm looking at when he was a teenager. In the early days, it was all about his dreams. You notice that? He'd go and tell his dad, this is what God showed me. Nothing wrong with what God shows you. But go and say to his dad, this is what God showed me. He'd go to his brothers and say, I've had this dream, and all you brothers were bowing down to me. I mean, no, that's not a good idea to your brother. He probably got beaten up, well, he did, because of it. And it was all about Joseph and Joseph's dreams. And yet I see that years later we come into this scenario. Some 20 years later we come into this scenario, and later it became all about serving other people's dreams. Now I want you to see something in that. Sometimes it can be about what God has said to us and what we want to do and what we want to achieve. Do you know what? In maturity and years, sometimes when God actually puts us through the furnace, he puts us through some trials, some stuff happen in our lives, very often it turns the other way. It doesn't become about us, but it went from being a place of selfie-focused to others-centric. It's a big deal. I believe this, maturity had arrived. And in trying to do the ordinary well, Joseph's attitude had been through the furnace of life. And yet, you know something? He'd never become bitter. Never once in Scripture does it show that he'd become bitter, that he turned against God, that he'd stopped believing what God had said to him. And here's a question really for us. Is your ordinary life, because we've all got one, we all struggle in our ordinary life, stuff happens, sometimes not very good stuff, sometimes good stuff, it's all ordinary. But in our ordinary life, let me ask you a question, is it causing you to become bitter or better? Which are you today as you look in the mirror and you see your ordinary life and you see your ordinary life's past to date? Has that made you better or has it caused you to become bitter? So to round off this story this morning, I not only see that there was a spectacular repositioning, and let me tell you, God can reposition you in a moment. You may be sat there this morning thinking it's not happened yet. What I believe God said to me all those years ago, and still I find myself in this position. With a suddenly of God, you can be repositioned in a moment. And I want you to understand that and take that as hope and take heart and take courage, because God is in the business of repositioning stuff for His glory and for His kingdom and for your life. That He's not forgotten about your dream, but He can reposition you in a moment. Someone needed to hear that this morning. And then I look at this where not only was there a spectacular repositioning, but also we see that there, and I think this is amazing, that there was a spectacular restoration. That throughout his life and through all of this ordinary stuff of his life, God restored brokenness. How many know that God is in the deal of restoration? That God is the restorer of all things. And through his ordinary, God restored brokenness in a very special way. And what I mean by that simply is that Joseph's family, of course, ended up going to Egypt. So, of course, his family lived in another place. Joseph had been sold into slavery into Egypt and had been there for so long. And God overnight had brought about some stuff, repositioned him. He found himself as ruler of the nation of Egypt. And when the famines came, Joseph's family, who thought Joseph was long dead, was sent by their father to get food from Egypt because they were dying of hunger, only to find out that they found themselves in the presence of Joseph and didn't even know that it was Joseph. So they find themselves in the presence of their brother. And then this moment arrives. They bow down to him. And of course, which is exactly what Joseph saw in his teenage dream. And suddenly he found that he was living the dream. But probably to him at this time, something far more important and far bigger than the fact that here comes this point that truth comes to his dream and this manifestation of the dream coming about, something far bigger than that for Joseph at this time is that he had his family back. I find it amazing that with the maturity of now this guy who is of mature age wasn't thinking about revenge. You know, he remembered, speaking about remember what people have done to you. He remembered all that his brothers had done to him and what it had caused to happen in his life. But at this stage, he didn't want revenge. But there was a spectacular redemption that came home that day. As I was studying for this over this week, and as I bring this to a close this morning, I saw this scripture and was reminded just about promises, about what God says about some things. And I just want to share this scripture with you. It's taken from Isaiah 60, verse 22, reading from the NIV. Let me read it to you. It says, "The least of you will become a thousand. I wonder if that comes alive in you right now. I wonder what that means to you. Because that can mean all kinds of things. It's, you know what? This scripture is speaking about increase. But the least of you will become a thousand. You know, there should be something that leaps inside you right now. The fact that God says, the least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. God says, I am the Lord. And in its time, I will do this swiftly. That was the thing that caught me. In its time, because Joseph had come to his time, and overnight he became the leader of the nation, God says, in its time, I will do this swiftly. You know what that translates as for me? Suddenly. When I do this in your life, when I fulfill this thing in your life that some of you have waited so long for, you know what? I'm going to surprise you, and I'm going to do it swiftly, and I'm going to do it suddenly, and there's going to be increase in your life. So let me leave you with three things. Literally, one line is three things to just wrap this up before we pray. Firstly, from this story, let me say this, and from the whole of the story of Joseph. Number one, trust God with your dream. Some of us spend our lives trying to make our dream happen, you know? And I believe that we have a responsibility before our dream. But let's not try to take it out of the hands of God. That there's some things about your dream that are bigger than you and things that you can't do that God has to do. So firstly, I would say, trust God with your dream. Secondly, I would remind you, as I have all the way through this series, secondly, get on with your ordinary life. Do it excellently. Be your very best at normal. Decide, from today, I am going to be my very best at normal. And thirdly, be ready for God's suddenlies. Never rule out His suddenlies. And watch this spectacular God use our everyday, ordinary life for seeing His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.